this person that Josh knows, and he's an older person, and he says that, you know, every time he gets around them, it's doom and gloom, you know, preaching at them, but it's all doom and gloom. And he said, I don't know. He said, I just don't want to be, you know, he said, you know, he just don't know how that would ever entice people to want to be a believer. It just doesn't work. So by the words that come out of our mouth, we can project a characteristic that someone would want to embrace. When we share with one another in love, when we care about one another. Now let's go look a little bit further in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. That word there, brings out, is from a Greek word that sounds like ekbelo, and it means to drive out or to send out. This is one definition of that word, is a thing, an excrement from the body. It's something that comes out. And so, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. How do you think that comes out, that good treasure? It comes out through the mouth gate. We speak good things. Out of the treasure of our heart, we speak good things. And an evil man, how does an evil man bring out evil things? He speaks out evil things. It begins there. It may eventually come into action, but it'll begin by speaking it out. Verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. So the words that come out of our mouth, we are going to give an account for. Words are very, very powerful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Romans says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So what we do in our mouth can bring us into salvation. It is so crucial that we speak life words, because we will give an account. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So we will give an account, and even in this life, our words can condemn us. You know, if we speak out, oh, poor me, all the time, they actually come back, those words come back to condemn us, come back to harm us. We get a harvest from those words where we always feel like we're a nobody. We're never a part of anybody. But if we will speak healthy, wholesome words, if we'll speak that I'm so glad to be a part of the body of Christ, I'm so glad to be a part of people who love God, I'm so glad to be in this company of believers, I'm one of them, they're one of me, we're in this together, and we're all loved by God. Well, as we speak those words, we get a harvest from those words as well. Matthew 15, 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So words that come out of our mouth can defile us. If I was, have you ever been in a place and you heard bad language, whether it's taking the Lord's name in vain or just kind of filthy talk, and you felt that that was defiling? You know, people are really defiling themselves by speaking those words. And if we listen to them, we let them go into our hearts, we become defiled. That's one of the things that I find so difficult. If you're watching a movie or something and a stream of profanity comes forth, or it's defiling. And you have to ask yourself, do you really want to defile yourself that way? It's so annoying, and it seems to be put in movies that doesn't even fit. Bad language doesn't even fit, but it's just thrown in there. And that can be a real demonic attack, that we are sitting there, we're enjoying a movie, it's all going real good, and then all of a sudden this defilement comes when we already open up to receive it, and it just kind of drops in. I've had that happen, especially with sexual scenes. You're watching a movie, and then all of a sudden there's a sexual scene there. I don't know what you guys are like. I don't know how, all I can do is speaking about me. But to me, when I get a picture there, boy, I got to work at getting it out of there. Even if I just, see it for a minute and grab the remote to try to, by the time I've seen it, that's all it takes. Then I got to work at that, getting that out of my mind. And sometimes that defiles a person. And it's the same thing with words. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. Now, what he's saying here, he's talking about the unbeliever. And this is what I want us now to remember, that when Jesus here is he's not speaking about a born-again believer. He's talking about a defiled person, an unborn-again man. He says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, blasphemies, and so forth. Well, we're talking here about the very depth or of the heart of an individual, the spirit of a man. But when you're born again, you are born again brand new. And those things are not deep down within you. If you're going to get them in your heart after you're born again, you're going to have to do some stuff to get them back in there. In other words, I can get born again today. Thank God for giving me a brand new spirit. Thank you, God, for causing my spirit to be regenerated. And I know you make all things new. So that which defiled my spirit before is now made brand new. Now, I can get them back in there if I want to. If I can go start watching porn and stuff like that, I'll invite that back in again. But if I keep that out of there, when that thought comes, when that thought about adulterous relationship or fornication or pornography, after you're born again, when those thoughts come, they come actually from the outside of your spirit. And that's when you deal with them. That's when I say, when you see something, when I'm watching a show and all of a sudden might see a nudity or whatever it might be, it's coming from the outside, you protect yourself. Don't allow that to come in. Don't meditate on it, because the enemy will try to get you to bring that back. But as you put your foot down and do not allow your mind to go there. Maybe you need to read the Word. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to pray in tongues. Maybe you need to worship God. Put on Christian music. Just worship God. Whatever you do, you have to do something to stop that line of thought, because it tries to bombard you to keep coming in there. And by the way, that's about anything, whether it's worry. The enemy will try to make you worry about things. Well, you want to stop that. You want to, again, worship God or get into the Word or pray or whatever to do something with your mind to stop thinking about that. Because it's not holy to worry even about your unloved ones or your loved ones. That's not a holy thing, because God says don't worry. Cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So even in those things, we have to put up our shield of faith. These things that get so many people into trouble, adulterous relationships and so forth, are not something that just instantaneously comes upon a person. When a man goes out to get a jug of milk and goes down to the grocery store and sees somebody beautiful out there, and all of a sudden, sees somebody and they might know them, don't all of a sudden just end up in bed together and with adulterous relationship. No. It might happen that they went down to get some milk and they seen somebody that they had a relationship in the past and they talked to them, and then they went home and kind of thought about that and thought about what it was before, and then, their paths cross again sometimes and keeps thinking about what it would be like again and all the rest of it, and the thought life just continues to go on and on and on and on until eventually you end up doing what you're thinking about. It doesn't just start automatically, it starts in the heart. Before you begin to carry it out. These are demonic promptings that the enemy uses in order to try to lead us astray. And the process is actually opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent, turn around, stop talking about, thinking about that stuff, and think about your spouse and so forth. Those are constant opportunities that God gives us to get right with Him. The key here is what we say under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we say can be very, very positive. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, comfort one another with these words. In other words, we can comfort one another with words. We can say things that bring comfort to one another. We can say things that are healthy and can bring joy into our lives. As Christians, we need to take advantage of bringing health and healing and wholeness and joy into individuals' lives. Think about this. Somebody gets a brand new car, and they like their new car. You see them, and they come in, they get out of the new car, you could say, "Ha, got a new car, eh?" Then walk away. You're not being very joyful, are you? Or you can say, "Wow, that's a nice car. That's really nice. You're blessed. Boy, I like that." And speak about what you like about it and so forth. It would add joy to me. When people show appreciation for you being blessed and it makes you happy and so forth. You know, that's the reason why most people drive brand new cars, is because they want to see what you think about it. There's certainly no economic sense to drive a brand new car most of the time. I should rephrase that a little bit. I'm thinking of Dave Ramsey, his concept of never buying a brand new car. But economies change, and the economy changed a lot here in the last number of years, where the prices of new cars went down and prices of used cars went way up. So anyway, you get my drift of what I'm trying to say here. Well, somebody comes in with the ladies with a brand new dress. I would say to Debbie, did you know so-and-so? Do you like her hair? And I'd say, I really like her hair. It looks good. And I might say that to her, and she might say, "Well, did you tell her?" She said that a few times, and it kind of dawned on me after a while, I do think that person looks good, or what she did and so forth. So why not tell her? Make her feel, bring her joy. All these little things bring joy into our lives. Our words can make a difference. Our words can bring joy to people. And of course, we can certainly bring discouragement to people as well. 1 Corinthians 14:3, "He who prophesies speaks." He who prophesies speaks. He who prophesies says. He who prophesies speaks edification, comfort, encouragement. So we can speak words. And God will give words that we can prophetically speak out at times to bring encouragement to people. And we all need encouragement today. We really do. Listen to this description of encouragement. Encouragement is having learned from the lessons of the past. Or you can consider yourself encouraged if you have come to the place where you can learn from the lessons of the past. In other words, things that happened in the past, either good or bad, we should learn from them. Encouragement, or one who is encouraged, appreciates the present. Do you appreciate your present situation? Do you appreciate the present blessing of God that we have? We maybe believe in God for things and so forth, but do we appreciate what we have? Talking to some people, sadly, far too many Christians, talking to them of what they're believing God and what we should have and so forth, what they're saying all the time is, "I don't appreciate what I got." That's what I would hear a lot of times. I never hear them talking about how blessed they are. They just talk about what they want, what they're hoping for, what they're wishing for, what they say they're believing for, but yet they're not appreciating what they have today. Someone who is an encourager or walks in encouragement is one who can appreciate the present. Encouragement sees a future filled with hope. You can't really be encouraged if you look to the future and see nothing but doom and gloom. I think that's one of the things that disappointed or turned young people off years ago, when there was a lot of message about the world's going to end. Because you're young, you're full of life and so forth, you want to do things, you don't want to hear a message about the world's going to end and disaster and so forth. We robbed them of their hope of the future. And someone who is encouraged must have a hope for the future. Encouragement is thankful for the blessings of yesterday, and encouragement believes in opportunities of today. A person who is encouraged believes that there's opportunities that I can take today to get me to where I want to go. There are opportunities. Encouragement is aware of the presence of beauty. I thought that's an interesting. A person who is encouraged can recognize beauty. Having an ability to see the beauty in those things. speaks to you of a person who is an encourager or a person who is encouraged. You know, to be able to recognize the beauty of things. I love it when I'm someplace and somebody says, you see the beauty in that or the beauty in this? I think Pastor Harold Andrews and I were, Debbie and Sybil were driving around one day on the island, and we were driving over some hills, and he was just kind of, look at this. You don't see this, do you? He said, you just see it all the time. But he was just kind of overwhelmed about the beauty of Prince Edward Island. Sometimes you got to just stop and take a look at the beauty. And we can be encouragers by getting caught up. Our friend Harold in Newfoundland, one of the reasons I think why Debbie and I like being around, so Harold loves nice things. And we were traveling one time and we were staying at different billets. We'd meet next day. He said, you should have been where I was at. I got up this morning, and they had this breakfast, and they had this, a whole bunch of fruit all around the table. He said, it just absolutely looked beautiful. And he was going on like that about the setting, the way it was set, and everything was just gorgeous and beautiful. And when we go over there, usually when we get up in the morning for breakfast, he does this all for breakfast. It's really first day only. But he and there's horrific cooks, and they set it all up nice, and you get up there and say, wow, I mean, you just can't help but really enjoy it. But to appreciate nice things, and it's so important to get caught up in somebody else's joy. Man, I wish we'd all just learn that, to really be an encourager. I don't know, it's so, like Debbie and I sometimes, we know, I mean, quite a few people, and we see there's some people that we can see them over and over and over again, and they would never ask you what's happening in your life, never ask you what you're doing, never ask anything about you. It's, let me tell you about my issue, or let me tell you about me, or let me tell you about this. They never think of asking somebody else, trying to pour out blessing in some way. People rob themselves. Like there's still people in our church, you know, to this day, if I don't speak first, they don't speak. They're robbing themselves of hospitality because they're not giving it out. If we become a people who are want to get caught up in somebody else's joy and happiness, and then it'll spill over on us. You know, if we give out joy and happiness, guess what? Some of it rubs off on us while it's passing through. Praise God. Sometimes we have to study people enough to know what they like. And don't bother giving them something you like that brings you joy. Like I remember counseling this couple one time, and they were really annoyed with each other over Christmas time, because she wanted to buy, she thought it would just be wonderful for him to have this particular piece of clothing. He wanted something for his truck. That's what he wanted. But what did she get him? The clothing. And so she was thinking about what she wanted for him rather than making him happy and getting what he wanted. And so if we are really looking at the other person, we look at them and find out what it is that makes them happy. We have to take time to know people, to find out what they'd really like. Now, having said all that, we're going to just try to wound up here. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, therefore, 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and if you read chapter 11 there, you would read about all the saints that have gone on before us and so forth in there. Yeah, it just seems to indicate that they're looking over the balcony of heaven and seeing what's going on down here. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin that so easily besets us, clings to us, and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance and steadfast and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, you know by now. So it says for us to cast off everything that's holding us back. And then verse 2, looking away from all that will distract. looking away from everything that distracts and look to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, giving the first incentive of our belief and is also its finisher, bringing into maturity and perfection. He, Jesus, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We're told to focus on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get so familiar with it that you know the stories. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talking about Jesus. Get to know his character, how he dealt with issues. Get to know him personally. Have our eyes focused on him all the time. Keep Jesus center of everything. No matter what it is, if your desire, you get a new car, you get a new something, make sure that it's in the right place. Your focus in the right place. It's Jesus that you're focused on. Enjoy the car, but focus on Jesus. Enjoy the good things that God gives us, but focus on Jesus. I'll just read you this little story and we'll end. It says, I remember hearing a story about an old preacher who was in a home for the sick. He was visited by a younger man of God and complained to that young man that he had preached healing all his life, and here he was unable to get healing for himself. The older man declared that he had been trying to get his healing to no avail. He was discouraged and bitter because he felt God had not come through for him. The young man quickly asked God what to say to this aged minister. After he felt God speak to him, he said, "Stop asking God to heal you. Stop seeking your healing. God knows you need healing. You have mentioned it to him enough. Tonight, when you lay your head down to sleep, just say, 'Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.' Seek his heart and him alone and see what God will do." The next day, the young man came back to see the man with a big smile on his face, totally healed. He had forgotten that it is not the doctrine that heals. It is the King who is the healer. Too often we forsake the King looking for the benefits of the kingdom. Too often we forsake the King looking for the benefits of the kingdom. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on him. Jesus, we love you. We say that, Lord Jesus, we love you. We say that you are King of kings, you are Lord of lords, you are Savior, you are Redeemer. You're the one. You're the reason that we're here. You're the reason we live. You have given us life and life more abundantly. You deserve all the praise that we could possibly give. You deserve it all, Lord. We say we belong to you. We say this church belongs to you. We say this property belongs to you. We say Prince Edward Island belongs to you. We say Canada belongs to you. The earth belongs to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that because you're so good, because you're so wonderful, Lord Jesus, that your kingdom would increase over this earth in Jesus' name. And Lord, that others might get to know how wonderful you are.